a prayer. Everybody now. As we shall be looking at the study of the gifts of the Holy Ghost, we pray, Heavenly Father, that you will grant us understanding so that we will be able to understand how you manifest in your body, and we will know how to operate these gifts so that we will also serve you acceptably. Come, Father, and teach us this morning. Come, Father, and grant us understanding In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. And before you sit down, our text is from 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 1.
Now, concerning spiritual gifts.
Concerning spiritual gifts.
Brethren, I would not have you ignorant.
And that is why we are taking these teachings, so that you will not be ignorant of spiritual gifts. God bless you. Be seated. So let's continue from where we stopped last service. Remember that we looked at the difference between the gift of the Holy Ghost, as we saw in Acts 2:38. It's a gift of the Holy Ghost that is eternal life, and the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And then there is the gifts of the Holy Ghost that we saw in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11. And I'm only recapping. And I told you the difference. And I made a statement, I hope we still catch that. That you can have the gifts without the gift. Amen. Amen. But if you have the gift of the Holy Ghost, you will have the gifts of the Holy Ghost. Because you can operate the gift even without the baptism of the Holy Ghost. So we looked at what are these gifts, and we saw that they are the talents also spoken of, and it is meant for us to serve God and profit with it. And we look at it, they are the body gifts, body parts, the members that make up that one body. The gifts of the Holy Spirit is the manifestation of the Spirit that we have received. We also looked at who are those the gifts are given to. And we saw that it's given to all men, even to the rebellious. And that people who are not even Christians operate the gift of God. The same gifts of the Holy Ghost, you see them operated in those who are not gifted. And that is nothing but the anointing of the Holy Ghost, because it's a principle, the rain fall on the just and the unjust. And we say that the gift is primarily given to those baptized into the body, members of the body, and is given for service. We also saw that, like I said earlier, it is given to any man that God desires to use. And he can choose anybody to use him. He will use you through that gift that he gives. We tried to understand, when do we receive these gifts? And we explained last week that it is, some receive it from birth, and some receive it after the Holy Ghost, after they have received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. All these come directly from God. Today we'll look at the fourth point in my own notes here. I don't know whether it is the fourth in your own, but in my own note is the fourth one. We'll be looking at if one can ask for any gift. Can I go and say, Lord, I want to be a prophet, Lord. Lord, I want to be a pastor. Make me a pastor, make me a prophet. Can anybody ask for any gift? And listen very well for the purpose of understanding. Remember that Romans 8:28. Please, we're going to read scriptures. I'm going to take it really slow. If we don't finish, we'll continue next week.
And we
because
know.
This is very, very important for anyone that desires to serve God with the gift. Anyone that is truly called of God, and everyone that has received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, learn this. It's important so that we can serve God acceptably. Acceptably. Because you can serve God and yet at the end he will say, I didn't know you. And the only reason he didn't know you is because he said you are a worker of iniquity. You did not use the gift the way you are supposed to use it. You did not use it to achieve the purpose for which the gift is given to you. So why not be humble, be attentive, and listen to this teaching? Go back to the first part of this message we preached last Sunday. Study it. At the end of the teaching, we will give room for questions. We'll give room, but sometimes you will not need to ask any question because even the question you have in your heart, the course of the message, it may be answered. Listen very carefully. What did Romans 8:28 say?
And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose.
We are called not according to your own purpose, not my own purpose. He has a purpose for calling you. There's something he wants to fulfill, to achieve. It is his own program, not your own program. Therefore, listen very well. The gift that he gave you, he gave it to you to fulfill the purpose for which he has called you.
Amen.
It is called his perfect will for you. Christ Jesus cried at the Garden of Gethsemane. If it is possible, Lord, let this suffering that is before me pass away. Nevertheless, not my will, but your own will be done. Because it is the will of God that he should suffer to fulfill the purpose for which he came to earth. No matter how you will pray, Lord, can you use another way to make this sacrifice? The suffering before me is too much. But he knew better. He said, my will, let your will be done, not my will. And I told you this several times, a prayer I pray regularly. And that must be our prayer. Let my will be buried in your will, Lord. Let my own will be buried in your will. That is, your perfect will alone should stand in my life. That's why even in 1 John chapter 5, verse 14, concerning prayers, even when you want to pray, what did he say?
And this is the confidence that we have in him.
It is the confidence that we have in him. What is the confidence?
That if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us.
If we ask anything, it must be according to his will. So if it is not his will, he will not hear you. So there are some prayers that will never be answered. One of it is, Lord, I want to be a prophet. As you see me, so me, I want to be a prophet. I wish, amen. When we traveled to Zambia, Prophet Sunday, we traveled to Zambia, and we were in that program together with Brother Cosmos.
Yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir.
And what did you ask Maduka?
Yes, sir, I asked him, I said, I want to be as rich as you are. He said, okay, what you will do? Give me your gift. And I'll give you the money.
You see, everyone is desiring something else that somebody has that you are admiring.
That's right.
But it is not he that will it, nor he that run it. But who? It is God that showeth mercy. He is the giver. Hallelujah. That's why in Romans chapter 12, verse 3 to verse 6. Let's read it.
For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith.
He has dealt with every man. He has given every man a measure of faith. Listen very well.
For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us.
It is gifts, but it differs because everyone has his own according to the measure that is given to us. What did he say?
Whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith.
Yes.
Or ministry, let us wait on our ministry.
Now listen, if you understand the body of Christ is made up of members, and Apostle Paul tried to use our own physical body to explain, you are members supplying something to this one body. You are either the hand, the leg, the nose, the eye. I tried to explain that last week. Now listen, when you stand up, you are a teacher, for instance. You are an evangelist, maybe an evangelist. That is a part you are supplying to the body of Christ. And you begin to ask, Lord, make me a prophet. Now, what you are actually doing is like the hand asking to be the hand, the leg. Hand is saying, Lord, I want to be leg. I want to be leg. That is why it is unnecessary to ask. And nobody has ever asked and received it. Yeah. If you ever received it, it's not God. It's a demon that will come. And you will see the wahala, you will go through with it. That is why you see a lot of people have made shipwreck of their Christian faith. Those who go to the mountain to do dry fasting because they are desiring a particular gift. They open up themselves and a demon will come on that mountain and enter them and watch what happens when they come back. Some of them even run mad. So can anybody ask for the gift? Praise the Lord. Remember that the part that you have to play, your office, the Church of Jesus Christ is a building. It is likened to the building of Solomon's temple. If you don't catch this, you won't stay in your calling. You won't stay in your gifts, in your ministry. Listen very well. David is a type of God the Father. Solomon is a type of the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Before Solomon took over the office of kingship, the Father had prepared all the building materials. He had prepared all the building materials. Oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah. So when it was time for Solomon to build, everything was predestinated. Where a particular stone will be was already prepared. When it is time, I remember it lasted for 7 years, seven church ages, before the building was completed. It's a type of the body of Christ. And when they reach a particular stage, they will only look for the stone. The Bible says throughout the 7 years building period, there was no noise of chisel or hammer. Oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah. There was no noise of chisel or hammer because the position that stone is to occupy was already there. There will be chisel if you try to force somebody into that position. Then you have to cut and cut and cut and cut. Then there will be fight, jealousy. This one, this one. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And so you must take note of that, that our position in the body of Christ is predestinated. Once you are born again, the gift that has been ordained for you will begin to manifest. And that is the measure that God has ordained for you. But I know we always get confused with this scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 31.
But covet earnestly the best gifts.
And again.
But covet earnestly the best gifts. And yet I show unto you a more excellent way.
Please let the ministers listen, because you defend some of these teachings. There are a lot of these things we correct from the altar so that we flow together, the unity of the faith. When he said covet the best gifts, he is not telling the individual, listen very well, that you should covet. How can you covet for something that has been predestined already?
That's right.
Amen. So what is he talking about? He is setting the church in order.
Amen.
As a church, covet the best gifts to manifest in your midst.
Amen. Amen.
Pray that God will bring the best gifts that will operate in your midst, not for you as an individual. So the pastor can say, Lord, send me the prophets. Lord, send me the evangelists. Lord, send me ministers on fire. Too many people come to the church sick, Lord. Father, bring people with the healing gift, the best. Best in the sense that the best that the church will benefit from. That is the meaning of that verse. So don't use that verse and go to the mountain so that your own gift. The church can pray that God should bring the best gifts. And I have been praying that prayer, and God has brought many of them.
Hallelujah.
You know the gifts that are here. Praise the Lord. Amen. So get the understanding of that scripture and it will help you. Amen. And that is why he went to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Amen. That is how he put it. That is how he tried to explain the type of gifts that you should covet. Now listen, let's read it very carefully, that from verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Listen very well.
Follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts.
Can you see? Desire spiritual gifts. He's talking about the church. He's talking to the ministry, the church. Desire the spiritual gifts.
But rather that ye may prophesy.
Now, no matter what gifts you want to covet, covet for the prophetic gift as a church. Now listen to the reason. Go ahead.
For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue.
And the reason he's saying it is, every particularly, I'm sure this is more relevant to the Pentecostals now. Everybody will go stand up and speak in tongues. They encourage everybody, speak in tongues, and then they teach the people, and then to be rambling and rambling. Go. They will spend hours there. What did he say? Listen to him very well.
For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God.
Uh-huh.
For no man understandeth him, albeit in the spirit he speaketh mysteries.
So how has it benefited the church? So when you come together, it's between you and God. How you are speaking mystery. So how has it benefited anybody, even the brother sitting by your side? Go ahead.
But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men.
But if you prophesy, you are speaking unto men to fulfill three things.
To edification.
The people will be edified.
And exhortation.
Exhorted.
And comfort.
And they will be comforted. So would you prefer to pray that this gift of prophecy, that the Lord should bless the ministry with it, more than you pray for everybody to speak in tongue? Go ahead.
He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifies himself.
You see, anytime you are speaking in tongue, it is for yourself. It is for yourself. You are edifying yourself.
But he that prophesieth edifies the church.
You are edifying the church.
I would that ye all speak with tongues.
Yes.
But rather,
that is this. I mean, he will wish you all, everybody should speak in tongues, because you need to edify yourself too. You need, you know, to be in constant spirit. It is for your spiritual wellness. Because it is a manifestation of the spirit that will benefit you. Now, if you hang there, you can even see the effect of speaking in tongues in Romans chapter 8 and verse 26. If you just, and then we are coming back to where we stopped now. What did this Romans chapter 8?
Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities.
Infirmities.
For we know not what we should pray for as we ought.
As an individual.
But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered.
And that is the gift of speaking in tongues. They say, when the Spirit, the body will come upon you. But no matter how he's dealing with you, it is for your own personal edification. Personal. It does not affect this one, your neighbor. You see people say, let us pray. And immediately they kneel down. Everybody's praying the Spirit. The person is dying. If they die, they go. But when the prophetic gift comes, in Jesus' name, thus said the Lord, that you should go out. Amen. And take water and do this, and this thing will go. Thus said the Lord. Thus said the Lord. Read on.
Verse 5.
Go back to 1 Corinthians 14.
I would that ye all speak with tongues, but rather that ye prophesy.
Listen very well.
For greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues.
Except
he interprets, that the church may receive edifying.
So, why are they majoring on the minor? Pentecostals. Why are you making it look as if you are not speaking in tongues, you are not born again? Greater is he that prophesied than he that speak in tongues. Except after you have spoken in tongues, you interpret. Let's read on.
Verse 6. Now, brethren, if I come unto you speaking with tongues,
listen very well.
What shall I profit you, except I shall speak to you either by revelation, or by knowledge, or by prophesying, or by doctrine?
Is it not true? Go ahead.
And even things without life giving sound, whether pipe or harp, except they give a distinction in the sounds, how shall it be known what is piped or harped? For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle?
Now, it's soldiers. You know, every Jew is a soldier. Now, this is for soldiers. Every trumpet has a meaning. When we are in the barrack, the way we will know that somebody has died this morning, there is the bugle that will be blown. There is a particular sound, and everybody will know who died. Then there's another one that is fire alarm. There's fire somewhere. When they blow it, everybody carry your cap and wear. And there is another one for roll call to make sure that every soldier is in the barrack. Everyone has a meaning. Read that verse again.
Verse 8. For if the trumpets give an uncertain sound.
An uncertain sound that is not known, it's not recognized, has no meaning.
Who shall prepare himself to the battle? So likewise ye, except ye utter by the tongue what is it to be understood. How shall it be known what is spoken? For ye shall speak into the air.
Into the air, because they'll be looking at you. You are speaking to air. Somebody here, receive your deliverance in Jesus' name. Of course, if you see this entire message, these are some of the things you throw away. But there is a genuine tongue. I'm only trying to tell you how to use it.
Amen.
Read on.
There are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world.
Yes.
And none of them is without signification.
Everything that is spoken has a meaning. Yes.
Therefore, if I know not the meaning of the voice, I shall be unto him that speaketh a barbarian.
Confusion people.
And he that speaketh shall be a barbarian unto
all
me.
For now, I know they look.
Even so ye, for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts.
Hey, church, you are zealous. You want gifts. You want gifts among you.
Seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church.
Let that gift that you are operating be a gift that will edify the church. Listen.
Wherefore, let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is it then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the spirit, and I will sing with understanding also.
So he's not throwing speaking in tongue away. The emphasis there is when we come together as a church. If you are now, listen, if we are praying like we worship God today, everybody, you are praying as an individual between you and God. And you have the gift of tongue. You know, the anointing comes, begin to blast it between you and God. No problem. No problem. But if suddenly you call our attention, you are shouting at the microphone to go and give you. If there is no interpretation, you have wasted our time. And okay. Amen. Don't force yourself to interpret it.
That's right.
Because I'm saying you must interpret now. Then you will think, what did I go talk now? What did I go talk now? Hey. Some of those, hey. I think that they think. Hey. Don't say, hey, Lord. Hey, what did I go talk now? Hey, I go talk now. My servant. Hey. I am with you. I think they waste our time for this. Praise the Lord. There must be interpretation. Read on, please.
Verse 16. Else, when thou shalt bless with the Spirit, how shall he that occupieth the room of the unlearned say amen at the giving of thy thanks? Seeing he understandeth not what thou sayest.
So how will you pray for me? How will he be saying amen? So be it. Amen means so be what you are saying. How will he say amen? And when you talk about the unlearned, those who don't understand what is happening, babies in the Lord, visitors that come among you. Read on.
For thou verily givest thanks well, but the other is not edified.
You are actually operating a genuine gift, but the person you are speaking it to is not edified. Go on.
I thank my God I speak with tongues more than ye
so
all.
So don't think that he's condemning tongues because he himself, he speaks in tongues.
Yet in the church, I'd rather speak 5 words with my understanding, that by my voice I might teach others also, than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue.
You see?
Brethren, be not children in understanding. Albeit in malice be ye children, but in understanding be men.
Be men! Come on. For how long will you be involved in foolish things? Go ahead.
It is written in the law, it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto these people. And yet, for all that will they not hear me, saith the Lord.
Yes.
Wherefore, tongues are for a sign.
Listen now. The tongues, the gift of the tongues, are for a sign.
Not to them that believe.
Not to them that believe.
But to them that believe not. But prophesying serveth not.
Now, let's dissect that. There are two things here. He said it is a sign. What sign? He quoted, let's go to the verse before this verse you read. Which verse was that?
In the law, it is written, men of other tongues and other lips.
In the law, it is written, which scripture is Isaiah 28. Isaiah 28, verse 11.
For with stammering lips and with another tongue.
And with another tongue, that will is speaking
to
in tongues.
These people. To whom he said, this is the rest wherewith he may cause the weary to rest. And this is the refreshing. Yet they will not hear.
Yet they will not hear. When he said it is a sign, that sign was on the day of Pentecost. On the day of Pentecost. Read it, Acts chapter 2.
And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place.
Yes.
And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind.
Listen very well.
And it filled all the house where they were sitting.
Uh-huh.
And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire.
Uh-huh.
And it sat upon each of them.
Uh-huh.
And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues.
Now listen. They speak with other tongues. It means it with other languages. It's other languages. As the apostle taught them.
No.
As Apostle Peter taught them.
As the Spirit.
As what?
As the Spirit gave utterance.
Now read on.
And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven.
Every nation. Uh-huh.
Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded.
They were confused.
Because that every man heard them speak in his own language.
Every man was hearing them. They were speaking in other tongues. And people were hearing their own language as those people were speaking. And they were all amazed and marveled and saying what?
Saying one to another, behold, are not all these we speak Galileans?
And all these people, are they not Galileans?
And how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born?
Eh? And how?
And how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born?
Now, what is the sign? Listen, they were speaking, amen. And as they were speaking in the tongue, the person does not even know which language he's speaking. The person is hearing somebody speaking in tongue, but all of us are hearing, as you are hearing him, you are hearing your own language. The person hearing is hearing his own language, and it's the same one person that is speaking. It was a sign. That is what he's saying there. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians 14. That it is a sign to who?
Wherefore tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not.
Not to them that believe, but to them that believe it not, because it is supposed to call their attention. But what?
But prophesying serveth not for them that believe not.
But what?
But for them which believe.
Because it is our edification. You don't go and edify a sinner. You don't go and edify a sinner. When you talk to a sinner, it's to break him down to repent. Amen. Read on.
If therefore the whole church will come together into one place.
Now listen to this analysis.
And all speak with tongues.
If everybody speak in tongues like you see in Pentecostal churches today.
And there come in those that are unlearned.
And there is a visitor that came in here from which church? Which church? Now you know. Go ahead.
And there come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers. Will they not say that ye are mad?
Because what are you people doing here? You visit your church and everybody says, the person with the microphone will not allow them to hear anything. Hey, mama, mama, mama. Hey, he's communicating with his girlfriend. You know the nonsense they do. Claiming to be in the spirit. What will happen? Would they think that you people are mad?
But if all prophesy.
But if it is. Glory be to God. Go on.
But if all prophesy, and there come in one that believeth not,
uh-huh.
or one unlearned, he is convinced of all.
Uh-huh.
He is judged of all.
So what will be the effect?
And thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest.
Uh-huh.
And so falling down on his face,
uh-huh.
he will worship God and report that God is in
is
you
he?
Of a truth.
Oh, glory be to God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I had a testimony of a young man that once told me, when I asked him how long he has been in the church and how he came in, he said the first time he came to the church, he tried to locate this ministry, and he said he heard that there are prophets in Brother Assembly. That's why he was coming. And he said he reached the bus stop. I don't know whether the brother is still here. He said he reached the bus stop and he was looking for road, and he met the church that is near us here and asked them, please, where is the road to Bride Assembly Church? And they said they don't know it. There's no such church here. And they walked away and he was confused. This is the address they gave him. This is the bus stop. And so he saw a brother buying handkerchief. And then he went to him and said, please, I'm asking for the way to Bride Assembly. And the brother said, oh, that's where I am going. Let's go. He said, so normally they came, they sat together. And he said, while the service was going on, said the brother turned and looked at him. Are you so-so-so? Are you from so-so-so place? You have so-so-so problem. I heard the Lord telling me he's going to deliver you. And so he said, is everybody in this church a prophet? And that was the reason he was coming to the church. He said, so he didn't need to see anybody again. His prayer was answered. What do you think he'll be telling people outside? That is what Apostle Paul. Hallelujah. What does verse 26 say?
How is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you at a psalm, at a doctrine, at a tongue, at a revelation, at an interpretation, let all things be done unto edifying.
Make sure whatever gift you are operating, make sure it is to bless someone. It must bless someone. We are talking about still trying to answer the question, can one ask for any gift? Ask for the gift. As a church, you can desire spiritual gifts. But desire the one that will be a blessing to the ministry. But if you notice also, 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 to verse, let's read from verse 1.
This is a true saying.
Yes.
If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work.
Now listen. This is where we again get confused. He that desire the office of a bishop, not this Pentecostal and Catholic and Anglican chieftaincy title, bishop, that is for their religion. I'm talking about the usage of the word here is a leader in the church. You can desire to be a leader of any group in the church. To be the head of evangelical group, the head men fellowship, the head women fellowship, the head of sanitation, the head marriage committee, the head of music department, the head of IT department. You can desire it. Amen. You have desired a good work. Because it's good to walk in the vineyard of the Lord and to even lead for that matter. Anytime you desire to be a leader, you are actually carrying a heavy load on your head. That's what you are doing. It's a big sacrifice. A true leader is not a chieftaincy title. It's great work. Hallelujah. It's great work. That is the leadership in the local office, local church, and they are appointed by the church. They are appointed by the church. We see that in Acts chapter 6 and verse 1. And, you know, you see it there.
And in those days, when the number of the disciples were multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews.
Yes.
Because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Uh-huh. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business.
You see?
But we
they are to appoint them. They are appointed. So that we will give ourselves to what?
To prayer and to the ministry of the word.
So they were appointed and they selected the six men that are the first record of the deacons in the Bible. And so also in Titus chapter 1 from verse 1. From verse 4.
To Titus, my own son after the common faith.
Yes.
Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ our Savior. For this cause left I thee in Crete.
To do what?
That thou shouldest set in order.
Set in order.
The things that are wanting.
And do what?
And ordain elders in every city as I had appointed thee.
You see, he is the one now to ordain them, to appoint them. They are appointed. The elders there are the people that will join the presbytery, join the pastor of the church to watch over the flock. They are appointed by the church, the pastor. But spiritual gifts is not by appointment.
Amen.
It is a gift from God. Amen. No pastor can give you a gift. No pastor can give you a spiritual gift. I hope these people are finding out now. There was a period of this sons of the prophet. Sons of the prophet.
That's right.
Sons of the prophet. That they were using, some of these were using to make money. Ah, but Jesus comes soon to deliver us. They go actually so that I want to be a prophet. Then if you want to be a prophet, then come. Didn't you know that they're the school of the prophets? They know which scripture to use to confuse people. School of the prophet is not where you teach the prophet. It is another word for gathering of the prophets. Because no man can make another man a prophet. It is God that gives you the gift. And it is not hereditary. I am a pastor, therefore my wife will be ordained pastor. My son will be ordained pastor. My daughter will be ordained pastor. Then my son will inherit the bride assembly. Amen. There's nothing like that. It is God that appoints. That gives the gifts. But you can ask for the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And that is what we see in Luke chapter 11 verse 13. You can ask. Amen.
If ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him?
So if you ask, you can ask for the Holy Ghost. You can ask for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Another thing you can ask for is you can ask for more grace, more fire, more power. Hallelujah. You can ask for more of his presence, more of his glory, more of that power. Father, you have given me a healing gift. Increase the grace for it. Father, you have given me a gift of prophecy. Father, now prophecy is what I want. Not the one when I prophesy now, it will take 2 years before it comes to pass. Now. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You can ask for it. Apostles asked for it in Acts chapter 4 when they were disturbing the tomb. From verse 29, maybe you can see what happened there.
And now, Lord, behold their threatenings.
They were threatening them. They were finishing them. Scattering them. Of course, Jesus prophesied it will happen. Then they were caning them. Don't talk in that name again. Don't preach in that name again. Bring them out. They'll be caning them. So they gathered themselves together, and this was their prayer.
And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word.
And what happened?
By stretching forth thy hand to heal. And the signs and wonders.
You see what they were asking for? Healing grace, signs and wonders
may be done by the name of the holy child Jesus.
Uh-huh.
And when they had prayed,
what happened?
The place was shaking.
Oh, glory be to God.
Together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost.
More grace, more power came upon them.
And they spake the word of God
with boldness.
Boldness.
Hallelujah. So pray. You can't have enough of him. Hallelujah. You can't have enough of him. Okay, let me take this one more topic because our time is going. How to identify your gifts. How to identify your gifts. First, take note that you can have more than one talent. You can operate more than one gift because he gives it severally as he will, as we read earlier in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 11 and Romans chapter 12, verse 3. Now, take note also, don't forget it, that your gift is for your ministry. It is for your ministry. It is for your service. It is the part that's what you use to supply to the body, to edify the body, to exhort the body, to comfort the body. Therefore, how will I identify my gift? The evident fruit of that gift is number one identification. I am an evangelist. It is because when you go out, you win souls. Listen very well. Your gift is not identified by a prophecy. Hey, and you don't enter into ministry because a prophecy is given to you. It only prepares you for the, so that you can know that yes, this is that which was spoken. Amen. And you must not receive prophecy before you go into ministry. I say it again. The evident fruit of the ministry. They say, I am a prophet. They say, I am a prophet. Hey, you don't do. Prophesy, and we shall know you are a prophet. Amen. Can't you see that there are some of you here that even without your own church recognizing you in your place of work, in your place of business, they call you pastor. There's something they saw about you. It's the evident fruit of the ministry. Somebody will come and I am Pastor Chima. Yeah, Pastor Chima. Which church? Actually, I finished Bible school last year. That's why you call yourself pastor. I tell you, sir, do you become pastor by a certificate? The word pastor means the keeper of the sheep of God. And he is the keeper of the pasture, the food for the sheep. So, which sheep are you keeping? You are pastor. Pastor. Praise the Lord. You are a teacher. Amen. You are a teacher. There is intellectual teaching, and there is the teacher called from God. Intellectualism, we speak grammar to explain. But the teacher from God will tell you, this is the meaning of this. He will demonstrate it. Is somebody understanding?
That's right.
Eh?
That's right.
There was a young man that was here some years back. He wrote a book and gave me even a copy from wherever he was before. Of course, I did not market that book because there were a lot of errors there in the light of further revelation. But he will not let us rest. He's a teacher. One time he was even preaching here, and the pastor sent a note to him, your time is up. And he made a derogatory statement with a microphone. I don't like to be checked. Anytime I am teaching, I don't like anybody timing me. Of course, that was the last time he held a microphone in the church. Praise the Lord. If you read that scripture further, anyway, we'll get to that, where you will know that the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. We'll explain that later. Amen. Hallelujah. It is only normal. There are some of us that are so crude, very crude, because of lack of exposure. See, we learn life, we learn. Everything we do, we learn. Amen. We learn. I had to correct a coordinator some time ago. He's going to call somebody, and the Holy Spirit said, come. I had to say, wait in animal be. You don't know him. Every little opportunity, come. He's a stranger, you are holding him. Does he know you? It's because you are so crude. Pastor says you should come. Abba, be cultured. Eh? Praise the Lord. Anywhere you go and you are invited to speak, the first thing is how long? How many minutes? If you go anywhere to speak and they have to send a note to you to stop and hand over, it's very shameful in a lighting place. Once you want to know the time so that you will know how you will compress your message, as it's getting to 5 minutes of the time given to you, if you have a need to continue, you will ask, can I continue? And you don't ask with microphone. That's manipulation. Pastor, can I have 10 minutes more? So he will tell you, no, please. Abby? What you're actually telling him is, I'm not giving you a microphone, no. Although you gave me time. And he owns the pulpit. It's wrong. Praise the Lord. You must be cultured. And so, that particular pastor that claims he's a teacher because he's an intellectual. Amen. And he will not let us rest. And so one day, among all ministers, he's talking with air of arrogance, as if the rest don't know anything. They should sit down and learn from him. I had to say, brother, you know you are not a teacher. And I said, this is the fivefold office of a teacher. Which gift do you operate? How can you teach that gift? A gift you don't operate, how will you teach it? There's a friend of mine, he used to be the teacher in our church. And he told me that all his life, he said, hardly he will dream once in a year. And he's a teacher. So how will you teach 1 Corinthians chapter 2 a spiritual gift when you don't operate it? How can you teach conversion when you are not converted? How can you teach what happened on the cross when you have not experienced it? You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Then you will be my witnesses. Anything you teach, you must have experienced it. That's why you see me teach the baptism of the Holy Ghost confidently. Confidently. Out of the 9 spiritual gifts, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I operate, confirmed 7 of them. I know how every one of them operates. And the one I don't have, I study it. I ask them questions. I study it. Study it. Sometimes I make fun of these prophets. I will go to them when they are sitting there. I will just say, so you see something away and no fish. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we know. What I'm teaching you, I didn't read it in any book other than what I saw in the Bible, and I saw it manifest. So anything I teach you, I am sure.
Practical.
When you see us boast, we are boasting because we know what we are talking about. When I was, one of these intermessage people invited me to a program, and I was teaching on the Holy Ghost. And one sister was sleeping. So I stepped down from the altar. I went to her because I saw a dove that came. That was what called my attention to her. And I looked at her. She was sleeping. So I told her, I said, you think I'm speaking grammar? Is it quote? I'm quoting William Branham saying, I'm talking about the Holy Ghost. You are sleeping. When we shall start ministry now, you'll be the first. The thing we catch. She wake up anyway. And as soon as I finished it, she had said, now stand up. And the power, she was the first. She scattered her seat there. For you but to talk confidently like that, there's something you have seen. Praise the Lord. I say I was ministering somewhere. And then in another convention, I enter message to people. They are big guys. They were sitting at the altar. None of them like me. Not one. It's the organizer that wanted to cause confusion among them that invited me. We were there. Prophet Sunday, is it Prophet Sunday or who was there? Sister Marachi was there. And who else? Who is that other prophet that was there? And I saw a revelation. I saw somebody with a bandage. I tried to look, I was preaching, I was looking to see where I see, because in that setting, if you say you see something and they think no, they will finish you. We told you, see, with the Holy Ghost act like that. I said, Father, no disgrace me. It reached a time, I said, I'm seeing somebody like this with a bandage. Who is the person? Somebody from the back came. I said, but there's no bandage. They said they were coming here, they removed it. She had a problem in her leg. That the only solution is for the leg to be amputated.
That's right.
And for how many months she hardly slept, all the painkillers no longer worked. And now I'm a teacher. It was an opportunity to teach them something. And I said, why will God show me this revelation if he will not heal her? That is what I'm talking about, the practicality. I said, if he doesn't heal her, then which spirit revealed it to me? And why did he reveal? Does God entertain us? I said, bring her forward. And before I finish talking, the power of God sees that woman. Praise the Lord. We were only singing. We were singing. And when he finished, that was all. I remember Pastor Francis was in my office 1 year after, and her pastor called Pastor Francis. He said, oh, this is Pastor Emma. The daughter is supposed to be here. The daughter of Pastor Emma at Ilori. Is she here? She comes here. Where is she? You are the one. Do you know any such story? I don't know whether you were around there. Did you hear it? I know that's the daughter of the pastor that brought that woman out. Eh?
Yes, sir. I was told about it.
You were told?
Yes, sir.
It happened live. Okay, maybe you were in school. And 1 year after, I said, hey, as in that lady he brought last year, so. He asked on the phone, I was hearing, how far with that woman? He said, perfect. But he didn't come back again. She doesn't even understand English because during their Thanksgiving, the next day in the program, she was speaking Yoruba, they were interpreting. Now, that is what I'm talking about. Praise the Lord. I think it was in that same program. One of our prophets, I think Daniel or so, he saw a revelation. I had already told them in the hotel, I said, these people, if you don't say anything, don't talk. So they're there with a recorder. So that they will go to church. You see, we were there. They were gazing, all those, they are funny. And then, the prophet that we went with said, I hear a name. He called the name of the person, David. A young man came out. He was making discernment. The person said, no, be him. Ha! High blood pressure began to start. I say, Father, I'm in the camp of the enemy. Daniel asked the second question. He said, no, be him. I said, young man, stand up and go. No, be you get the message. Daniel, do like this. Suddenly he stopped and looked at the host pastor. He said, sir, stand up. He said, do you know me? He said, no. Have you ever seen me? He said, no. Do I know your phone number? He said, no. Have you ever given me your phone? He said, no. Of course, he doesn't know. That's his first time of going to that place. He said, bring out your phone and type this number. And the person typed, the pastor typed the number, type. He said, which name is there on your contact? He said, it's David. And he shouted. He called the number of the David he was talking about. Which other vindication will you want? Then he didn't stop there. He said, that David, the man that was sitting next to this man, he said, that David is connected to this man sitting down here. He said, yeah, he is his son. Now here I stand up. I say, who go? Who? Praise the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. So that's how you to identify. You say you're a teacher. It's not grammar. It's not grammar at all. Amen. It's like a poor man want to teach how to be rich. You want to teach how to be rich and you're a poor man. Eh? Like our Nigerian professors that will teach you everything about the mechanics of a vehicle, but they have never manufactured one. Hallelujah. Therefore, is the evident fruit of the ministry. Hallelujah. Evident fruit of the ministry. And So when it comes to it, where you are most profitable, that is where your ministry is. Where you are most profitable. Once you operate that is the gift you use and it produces results. That is one way to identify the gift. And that is the gift you operate, the ministry you operate, that you derive the most joy. Any other thing you do in life, you don't receive the type of joy that you receive when you are operating in that ministry. The best moment of an evangelist is when he is out there. The best moment of a teacher, a preacher like me, This is my best. When we are talking about revelation, about the Bible, That's why I told one of our pastors out there, anytime I visit him, or he comes to visit me, he always talking about the healing that took place in the ministry. And he said, Pastor, the healing, the madman that will receive healing, every time, power, fire, power everywhere. And I said, no, now, when two pastors come together, not with that kind of thing we talk now, let's look at the sheep food. Tell me, let's share revelation. Anytime you see the three of us, me, Olumide, Every Smart, anytime you see us, either two of us, three of us together, is something. I have caught this revelation. Have you seen this scripture this way? Have you seen this? Or I have seen this quote that William Branham said. I have seen this thing that one preacher said. We share what people are saying concerning the word of God. Anything they catch in the social media, that is what they send to me. Because that is our own area. Amen. The same thing with the prophets. There are some of them that we know who their mentor is by the way they prophesy. There are some that Bushiri. They are no more here. Those prophets are no more here. We know. There's one that I talk, what they say, Tokanadu was his mentor, or is still his mentor, I don't know, but no more here. Then there's one that Oyakilome is his own. He will collect and be singing like a woman. Praise God. When one prophet was trying to mimic me in those days, I called him. I said, stop acting like Pastor Moses. Instead of receiving the Holy Ghost, you're receiving the spirit of Pastor Moses. Be yourself. Be original in anything you are doing. Stop this copy. Be yourself. Be yourself. Be unique. Every one of us, we're unique. No matter how you love me, stop walking like me. You will be so much like me until your hair will chop like my own. Stop that. You have made me your idol. Amen. Be unique. When we get to the operation again, I will let you know why the Holy Ghost say is different manifestation, but the same spirit. Different operation, but the same spirit. Different. Because God is a God of variety. Yeah. Don't be like these deeper life people. Every preacher there is talking like Kumuyi. In Jesus' name. All of you are baptized with the spirit of Kumuyi, and you don't know it. Then because he's a holiness preacher, those who want to look like holiness, like that they are holiness preacher. Meanwhile, some of them are devils, because by your fruit we know. Then when they are preaching, so they look like they are talking. And then you learn. You are dressing in trousers. Yeah. And God doesn't like it. And so, why do you are like that? And meanwhile, they are ravening wolves. William Brown used the terminology. He said, don't stick the feathers. Let the feathers grow. Don't carry aradite so that you look like eagle. Eagle doesn't stick it. storm will come now, and your nakedness will be made open, because we scatter it. Then they will see, say, uh-uh. So no be original fetters you have. And so I want you to take note of it. That's where you derive the most joy, and you don't struggle to operate it. You don't struggle to operate it. Amen. No, you don't struggle. You don't struggle. Hallelujah. You don't struggle at all. At all. Amen. One day I asked Prophet Sunday, any message? Do you have any message for the church during service? And he said, Daddy, why are you asking? I'm a prophet. Now just give me the microphone. The message will come. That is how it should be. He said, just give me the microphone. The angel will know it is time to prophesy. So he will come. That is a genuine gift. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And so next week we shall look at how to operate the gift. How to operate the gift. For today, let's stop. Don't worry, you ask your questions. Where you will really, really learn a lot is when we come to how to operate the gift. And I will tell you how some people operate this gift that will amaze you. And I intend to face them very well so that we clean up the ministry. Clean up, clean up. Hallelujah. I saw somebody say, of course, number one, God does not entertain us. So God cannot give you a message without a solution. And the solution is not go and pray. There's no solution like go and pray. Now pray and I make you the talk to the soul. If you say you don't pray, you will not see that revelation. Pray what? Go and pray. I see you die. Go and pray. Now you go die. I don't go die. We'll go talk next week. Can we stand up?